Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us today on the program. A very special treat, an introduction to Bishop-elect Donald DeGroote, who will be the ninth bishop of the Diocese of Sioux Falls upon his installation on February 13th. It's a fascinating interview with him. I hope you will stay tuned and give it a listen. We'll have news for you in just a bit. First, the readings for this, the fourth Sunday of Advent. Brianna Wingen with the first and second reading, and Deacon Bill Radio with the gospel.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask for a sign from the Lord your God. Let it be deep as the netherworld, or high as the sky." But Ahaz answered, "I will not ask. I will not tempt the Lord." Then Isaiah said, "Listen, O house of David, is it not enough for you to weary people? Must you also weary my God? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you this sign. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel." The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised previously through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the gospel about his Son, descended from David according to the flesh, but established as Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, through resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we have received the grace of apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith, for the sake of his name, among the Gentiles, among whom are you also, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all the beloved of God in Rome, called to be holy. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. For it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home. The Gospel of the Lord.
And now we'll look at a few news highlights from this past week. Catholic leaders in northeastern Kenya are collecting donations to gift Muslims over the Christmas season, despite attempts by Al-Shabaab Islamist militants to ignite a rift between the two faiths. Priests serving in the region near the border with Somalia said that Muslim leaders have in the past delivered gifts to the church during key religious celebrations. It's the church's turn to give this time. There are families in the cold due to the current heavy rains. Some are trapped in the floods. We want to give them the gifts so that they can feel the warmth of the season, said Father Nicholas Mutua, Justice and Peace Coordinator for the Diocese of Garissa. Father Mutua said the gifts tradition has continued for several years, helping boost coexistence and interfaith relations. Pope Francis blessed hundreds of figurines of the baby Jesus, ranging from tiny plastic figures to life-size statues, and encouraged children to make sure they have nativity scenes at their homes. After reciting the Angelus prayer on the third Sunday of Advent, Pope Francis did the traditional blessing of the bambinelli, or statues, of infant Jesus for the children to put in mangers at home, at school, and in their parishes. As part of the celebrations for his 50th anniversary of priesthood, Pope Francis chose to personally present a multi-volume collection of writings by his longtime spiritual director, the late Father Miguel Ángel Fiorito, in addition to presenting the Spanish language collection at a conference at the Jesuit headquarters. Pope Francis wrote an introduction to it, saying the publication is a consolation for those of us who for many years were nourished by his teachings. These writings will be a great good for the whole church. But he stated the celebrations much earlier in the day. He started the celebrations much earlier in the day, inviting cardinals living in Rome to join him in the chapel of his residence for morning mass. The former chaplain to Queen Elizabeth II is to be received into the Catholic Church. Bishop Gavin Ashenden of the Christian Episcopal Church will become a Catholic on December, or became a Catholic, or no, will become a Catholic on December 22nd in Shrewsbury Cathedral. He said he had reached the conclusion that only the Roman Catholic Church and the Orthodox churches have the capacity to defend the faith from the influence of secularism. At a recent statement, the Diocese of Shrewsbury said Bishop Ashenden's Anglican orders will be suspended and he will become a lay Catholic theologian. In a statement to Catholic News Service, the bishop said the claims and expressions of the Catholic faith are the most profound and potent expression of apostolic and patristic belief, and that he now accepted the primacy of the Pope. That's a look at news for this week. Let's move on to our interview with our new bishop-elect, Donald DeGrood. This morning on Catholic Views, we are privileged to be able to talk to Bishop-elect Donald DeGrood. He's going to be the ninth bishop of the Diocese of Sioux Falls. Bishop-elect, we are thrilled that you agreed to take a little time and talk to us this morning.
Happy to do it.
So by now, you've had just a little time to digest what the Holy Father has asked you to do, to be the ninth bishop of Sioux Falls. Talk about where your heart is right now.
My heart has been with the Lord. You know, it's such a beautiful gift from the Lord. When the call came, my first response was, I need time to pray. And so I was so blessed to be able to go to the Adoration Chapel and just simply ask one question, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he's given me a tremendous, tremendous grace and clarity. And the assurance that he would provide me with everything I need. So it's really been living off of those graces and a little bit of time that's passed since then, and even with the announcement yesterday, just continue to be so amazed by the grace of God. And my goal has been to just stay in his graces. Certainly, it was a very full day yesterday, but I slept very well last night. So wonderful to be able to go to Broom Tree in Sioux Falls, outside of Sioux Falls, just because I wanted that time to be with the Lord. And it really was for me, as I sensed when I was driving down the night before the announcement, that I'm going to Nazareth, that place where there's a lot of ordinary, beautiful things, but the beautiful things are because of the greatness of God. And so that time of prayer last night at Broom Tree was just really, really rich. Good night's sleep, really rich prayer this morning. And that little oasis for me at Broom Tree, that spirituality center, has just been such an important part of my life, as I've had the privilege to be down there several times, either on retreat or assisting with seminary and retreat. So I'm in a place of great interior peace. Obviously, there's a lot that goes through the mind at these times, but I'm just trying to stay focused on the grace of each moment.
Well, never having met you before the day of the announcement, my sense is, from the little bit that I know you now, that's kind of how you try to live your entire life. Am I right?
You know, I strive for that. I'm human like everybody else, so it's a constant effort. What I do find that's so important is that I stay very consistent with my prayer life so that I'm preserving that space for the Lord to be able to speak to my heart and me to receive what I need, most of all, his love, so that I can share that with others.
I think it's important for people to know a little bit about your background, and you shared some of that with us at the announcement. For those that didn't get a chance to hear the announcement or to hear about that, I think one of the things that struck me most is the fact that you grew up on a farm, and so you have a real sense, I think, of a lot of the people in South Dakota, and eastern South Dakota in particular, the Diocese of Sioux Falls, who either are still connected to the farm or who maybe are just a generation or so removed from it. That background, I think, can probably serve you pretty well.
You know, for me, it certainly is my place of comfort. Even as I was driving here the night before the announcement, as I mentioned, it was like me returning to Nazareth. So my Nazareth growing up was Faribault on a farm where we had dairy cows and pigs, you know, regular corn, soybeans, some alfalfa, that kind of thing. So, you know, that's it's what's that great saying? You can take the boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy. I think that certainly applies to me.
Yeah, absolutely so. And you know, any of us that grew up on a farm, myself included, we know it's changed. It's not quite the same as it was. But that sense of the land, that sense of working with animals, that doesn't go away, does it? I mean, that in a sense, it forms a bit of who we are.
So absolutely true. And I think if you know the earliest settlers in these areas, wonderful Native Americans, and how important the land and all of connections with nature and the farmers are so blessed to be able to have a similar sort of connection. And I just look back with such fondness to the wholesome upbringing that I was blessed with in a family of just wonderful, wonderful parents, very down to earth. My dad only went to eighth grade of school because he was needed back at the farm. And his heart was on the farm. That's what he loved to do. And my mother got through high school, but she needed to live in town because they couldn't afford the bus to get her into a Catholic high school. And so she had to kind of work her way through high school because the Catholic faith was so important, as it is to both my parents. I'm blessed with four brothers and now nine nieces and nephews and the in-laws. And so I feel very grounded to the land, the earth, if you will, and nature has been that place for many, many years where it grounds me and keeps me connected closely to God.
I think we're still particularly blessed in the Midwest, and I'm going to say particularly here in the Diocese of Sioux Falls. You just talked about family, and the sense of family, I think, it really still runs very, very strongly in the communities in our diocese. What does that do for you in terms of, you know, your own grounding in a family as you seek to help those who may be struggling with family life in some way these days?
Yeah, you know, in the culture we live in, there's such an attack on family on so many levels, so many things pulling at parents' hearts and all the distractions of the world, the temptations, the busyness of life, all the opportunities the world offers. I'm so deeply, deeply convicted that it's the grounding in solid family life and really staying focused in the Lord, in family. And, you know, it's that domestic home, like Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and so many of the years of one's life that are so very formative, of course, are in that family life. So my real heart is there. My prayer is there. But you're so right. There's so many that have been wounded by the struggles of life and choices others might make, or perhaps even their own choices. And certainly, hopefully, no shame there for anybody, but I do hope it's an opportunity to receive from the Lord what maybe was not able to be received in a domestic family situation. Hopefully others, extended family or friends, and certainly the faith communities, hopefully my great love for each parish would be that in each institution that it would really have that functioning of a healthy family, really to be essentially healthy, happy, and holy.
You were talking with Bishop-elect Donald DeGroote, who's going to be the ninth bishop of the Diocese of Sioux Falls. Currently, Bishop-elect, you are a pastor, and I really hear in the comments you make that's a place of holiness for you to be a pastor, to work with parishioners. Is that something you'll be able to sustain as you move to this kind of different role as a bishop?
You know, I know that God told me he would provide me everything I needed. So if he doesn't provide that because of the busyness of the demands, I will continue probably to keep asking him. He will provide, but I'm certainly very much a people person. I like being with the people. I like to get to know people. I want to be able to interact with them. So one of my great desires is to meet the people that The Lord has called me to be the shepherd and to listen and to learn from them, to pray with them, to love them, and then see what the Lord wants for all of us.
Yeah, that'll unfold, won't it? I mean, it's not, people probably shouldn't look for instant answers.
No, absolutely not. I'm a discerning sort of person. So what's really, really important to me is that I listen, I try to gather the data that I need, or if you will, the facts of whatever the situation are, to seek counsel as needed, then to take it to prayer, and then from there to follow the Lord's prompting. So, you know, there will be things might come very clear to me in prayer or through consultation, and might be like, wow, that kind of came quick. It's like, yeah, that's kind of the way the Lord works on some things. Other things, it's not the right time, or it's not what the Lord wants, and so then it's a matter of me staying in the graces with the Lord and just following his promptings.
So the other thing I know that you're certainly well known for is that you're a spiritual director, and I hear that in what you're just saying. Maybe we'll do a little spiritual direction for all the listeners this morning, because that listening and that desire to do God's will comes through in so much in what you're talking about. And I suspect for all of us, that's in us somehow. We don't always know how to deal with that or how to respond to that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm 54 now, and I certainly don't have it all perfected by no means, but I've learned a lot by directly the grace of God, certainly learning more about the spiritual life, wonderful spiritual director I've had, and so many who've guided me along the way to teach me about the spiritual life, but then you got to practice it, and it's like learning to dance. You have to, or any sport, or any farming, you have to learn how to do it, and so we have to expect, all of us, that we're still always going to be learning, and the Lord's constantly going to be calling us, inviting us to deeper friendship. The key is, as I continue to learn, is to really internalize the true love that God has for us, regardless of how we think of ourselves or others might make comments about us or whatever it might be. Once we fall in love with the Lord, everything else just doesn't have the same impact. And we learned even to live out of our limitations and weaknesses in beautiful ways and accept that in ourselves. And spiritual life, it's learning how to be a child in the Father's arms, if you will.
Yeah, that's about as countercultural a message as you could give, I think, to the world we live in today. There's so much that's, you know, about the person, about the self. And what you're saying to me is that in a lot of ways, we have to abandon that, don't we?
We do. You know, certainly as a human being, we have so many broken inclinations within us. And so the tendency is to try to compensate or overcompensate for that. And that's often where masks or inauthenticity comes in. We're not genuine. We're not real. We feel vulnerable. We feel like we're supposed to be something for somebody else. But it's so wonderful when we can just receive the love of the Lord, and he just, in his own time, in his own way, just works through those things, loves us through them, and often it's most clearly, obviously, the power of God's grace, but that's why the family life is so important, mm-hmm. and really living the spiritual life, all of us, because then we allow ourselves to fall in love with God.
Yeah, amen. So let's talk about what happens now for the next couple of months. I don't think we've even said this morning here that the installation and ordination will happen on February 13th. A lot of folks, of course, the mystery of your appointment, they've been asking about that for 15 months since Bishop Swain offered his resignation. Well, how does this happen? You know, how will the new bishop be selected? And then, you know, so we can unravel that mystery a little bit and then maybe talk a little bit about what happens in the next few weeks prior to the ordination.
Yeah, I'll only be able to offer so much insight as to how the process all works as far as selection of bishops. I do know that, you know, certainly the Holy Father relies on people to seek counsel from, and names are submitted as possibilities, and then the Holy Father, through his team, you know, do research, try to find what they think might be a good fit, what the Lord might be calling them to. The process beyond that, I don't know. All I know is I had no clue until I get the call.
Exactly. How about for the next couple of months? Obviously, you're still a pastor. You've got some things to deal with and also some preparation to do, I suspect.
Yeah, so the next upcoming couple months here, I'll be continuing to work with Archbishop Hebda and Bishop Cousins from the Archdiocese regarding transition plan, meaning when I would finish my assignment at St. Baptist Church and School in Seth. So we're working towards... I will need to be certainly wrapping up as a pastor and trying to get things as reasonably well situated as I can for the transition. I will be taking a canonical retreat, which is an expectation for a bishop, which means I'll be taking some time of retreat and just trying to receive from the Lord what he wants as he prepares my heart. Certainly, I'll need some transition time to move and get settled in a little bit before February 13th. But that's in a nutshell what it's going to look like.
Yeah, a lot of details within all of what you just said that'll happen, and it just happens, of course, by people doing their jobs, that we hope and with the Lord's will, as you keep telling us that if we follow that, it's all going to happen, isn't it? It's all going to happen as it should.
Absolutely. And you know what the Lord keeps trying to remind me of is just stay focused on him. It's when I find for myself, if I try to focus too much on the things that are down the line and the Lord only wants to be focused on today because that's the only graces I have and that's for another time or maybe never to happen, right? We can overthink things or I can overplan things. And then it's like, no, just stay in the grace. So I'll be heavily reliant upon the insights of the bishops and certainly the staff, both at St. John the Baptist and at the Archdiocese, and advising me on, you know, what we need to be doing. I've already met with the planning committee that's done a fantastic job in Sioux Falls to kind of prep for the ordination and all the events. So I'm relying heavily upon the insights of others, which is a tremendous gift to me right now.
So, Bishop-elect, let's talk a little bit about, and I know it's still very early days, Are there particular things that you think might be priorities for you as you get into this role? Obviously, I know Catholic education is deep in your past and in your current as well, because you have a school at St. John the Baptist in Savage. Maybe that's one. I'm guessing evangelization might be one. But are those among the things you think about? And maybe what are the other things you might be thinking about?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, there's a lot of thoughts that float to the mind and the heart at these sorts of times. You know, really my priorities are going to be, first of all, prayer. So I'm really listening to the Holy Spirit. I want to listen so that I can learn, and that helps me take it to the Lord and discern. Certainly, I have, as a pastor, I've been blessed with a passion for so many different things. In parish life, for example, in the formation of seminarians and clergy, you know, certainly have a passion for, as you mentioned, Catholic education, Catholic schooling, for youth. So excited about the youth center at Roomtree. Certainly the spiritual life is going to be the core of what flows out of me. And that's been the pattern in my life and in my ministry, and certainly evangelization, we have such a need for that. But really, more than anything, it's to pray and to love the people, and then to wait for the Lord as to how he wants that lived out. The other critical piece for this before making any decision on where my priorities will be is I need to know what the needs of the diocese are. Mm-hmm. That's why the listening and learning is so important. But the others are some passions that I've had and opportunities that the Lord has provided for me in my formation up to this time, which has also helped foster those passions. So there might be things in the healthcare industry or other sorts of things that will become, you know, I have a great love for those who are in need. So, you know, senior citizens and you know, nursing homes and hospitals and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, what that priority is in the diocese, that's where I'm going to need the counsel and advice from others and take that to prayer to set what will be the priorities as I transition into being the new bishop.
We have just a couple of minutes left this morning in our conversation with Bishop-elect Donald DeGroote, again going to be the ninth bishop of the Diocese of Sioux Falls, installed and ordained on February 13th. As we wrap up this conversation, the first of what I hope will be a lot of conversations throughout the course of your tenure, Bishop-elect, but what's maybe the kind of final message you might want to give people of the diocese at this point?
Yeah, I think the final message that comes clear in my heart goes right back to my time of call in the Adoration Chapel. So after I received the call and the ask if I would accept the appointment of the Holy Father, I went to the chapel to pray, and the Lord gave me the grace, as I mentioned earlier, to say yes, and I'll give you all the grace. And immediately after that, what the Lord placed in my heart was to pray for all the faithful of St. Paul's, all of the religious brothers and sisters, laity, so seminarians, so the whole gamut. And it was my point of saying that is that's what the Lord placed in my heart. So the Lord's love and that he placed on my heart to begin that prayer, and I've been praying. The second point would be simply to ask for prayers. As I shared yesterday, my great desire is that I would be a holy bishop. And so the greatest thing anybody could do for me is really to pray and just beg God for that grace, so that if I can be faithful to the Lord and stay connected to him, he will handle everything else, and his fatherhood, spiritual fatherhood, his love will flow into all of us, and his will be accomplished.
Well, it sounds like terrific advice kind of at any point in any person's life. If we can live that way, we're going to be all right.
So, God will provide.
God will provide. Wonderful to have this conversation again with Bishop-elect Donald DeGroote. We look forward to having you here full time with us, and thank you so much for joining us today.
It's been an honor, and just go my prayers for all of you as well, and the good work that you all do down in the diocese.
What a treat to hear from our new bishop. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed having the conversation with him. I think he's going to be a wonderful leader for the Diocese of Sioux Falls, a worthy successor to our current bishop, Paul Swain. This, of course, is the week when we have Christmas. Hope you all have an opportunity to get to Mass on the Christmas Vigil or Christmas Day. And, of course, it's the beginning of the Christmas season, not just a one-day event for us as we celebrate this whole season and so many great opportunities to welcome the Lord into our lives. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. We'll be back with you next Sunday.